day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said, "What things?" And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. That's our text for today. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you for your anointing, Lord. Thank you that those of us that are bound this morning, we will be set free, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done in this service. Thank you, Father, that we're not going to leave here the same way, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God is so good. Amen. I want you guys to just give him some praise real fast. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We got to shake off those heavy bands. I know there's a lot going on. People can be discouraged about a bunch of different things. If we look at our text right here, what we got going on, we got two followers of Jesus Christ that are heartbroken. These guys love Jesus. Things didn't work out the way they thought they should work out, and they were devastated. Maybe they were even fearing for their lives, man. But they had had enough. They had to get out of town. The other disciples, we know, were hunkering down around Jerusalem. These guys, probably part of the 70. If you remember the structure, there was a group of 70 followers of Jesus Christ who Jesus sent out. But then there was the 12 that were kind of the inner core. And then the inner core of the inner core would be Peter, James, and John. So these guys probably were part of that group of 70. Either way, man, their hearts were just destroyed. They were crushed in spirit. Can I get a witness? And that's where we're going to pick up, man. They're just, this is Easter right here. This is Easter evening. Okay, so the Son of God has already been raised from the dead. The victory has already been won. But these guys don't realize that the victory had already been won. Can I get a witness? They do not understand. They do not perceive what has happened. Their hearts are broken because in their mind, they, you know, maybe when they were leaving Jerusalem, maybe they looked over at Golgotha. Maybe they saw the crosses. Who knows? But they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. They knew that their rabbi, that their teacher, the one that they hung all their hopes on, they knew that he was dead. Their hopes, their dreams were dead. It looked hopeless, man. But the victory had already been won. They didn't realize that yet. And I want you guys to understand that whatever's burdening you this morning, whatever that might be, listen, Jesus Christ has already paid the price. Jesus Christ has already won the victory. So listen, man, I know some of us, man, we got some deep, deep, deep hurts, man. This has been a crazy time for a lot of people. But I'm saying that there's healing in the name of the Lord. I'm saying that we got to run to him, okay? Now, he's running to us, but we got to make sure we're not pushing away. Hey, this isn't working out the way I think it is. I'm upset. Jesus, I'm putting you in time out right now because I don't like this. That's the wrong thing to do. And I've done that before. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, we get frustrated. We get mad. Man, we get hurt. And we can blame Jesus for it. These guys don't get it yet, but the victory's already been won. Some of us are walking around like that, you know? And I'm not thinking about anybody specific. But I know that sometimes we, because of what we see with our natural eyes, man, what we see on the news or the picture show or the radio, whatever the kids are into nowadays, you know, we can be so discouraged, man. Or the bills keep piling up. Man, listen, we serve a risen Savior, and I can do all things through Christ. So I want us to get excited, but I want us to leave here excited. So give the Lord some praise and let's move forward. That very day, I'm talking about, this is Easter evening. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Look, go ahead and, you probably have it on your bulletin. Okay? Now look, man, when you're discouraged, when nothing's making sense, raise your hands if sometimes life does not make sense, man. You know, there's just all this craziness, and you're like, well, dude, at this age, I thought this would be like this, or how in the world could this have happened, man? You know what I'm talking about, okay? We can be, sometimes things don't make sense. Well, during those times, man, okay, we got to focus on what is true. We got to focus on what we know to be true. Can I get a witness? Okay, now look at Proverbs 3, verse 5. This is our marching order right here when things don't make sense. These guys are, man, their hearts are broken. They're talking with one another, man. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Man, when it doesn't make sense, man, hang on to the cross. Hang on to Jesus Christ. Hang on to Him. Focus and hold on to what you know, man, that He is a loving Father. Amen. He is a loving Father. Does that make sense this morning? I love my children, and I'm a very imperfect father. But I love them very much, and I would do anything in the world for them. Okay? Now look at God, who is the perfect Father. And we don't always understand the things He does or the things He allows. You know, that's that stuff that don't make sense sometimes. You know, His ways are above our ways and all that. But see, here's the deal. He says, trust in Me, man. Sometimes you got to tell your little kids, hey, just trust in Me. It's going to be all right. I don't understand. It's okay. You're not going to be able to understand. Just trust in Me. So God says, just lean on Me. Trust in Me when it doesn't make sense. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that's a battle, man. That's a battle. But the more we do it, the more we get peace. The more we get the victory. Because the victory's already been won, right? We got to hang on to the Most High God when everything else is falling apart. Can I get a witness? Trust, He is our constant. He is the one that's not going to go anywhere, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. You know, your heart, it can deceive you real fast, man. You know, but see, God is faithful. So we got to focus, we got to trust, we got to wrap our arms around what is true. And this is a true statement. My God says He will never leave me or forsake me. Even when everybody's telling me, no, He's dead, man. I saw Him put in the tomb, man. I know He's dead. Nuh-uh. My God said He'll never leave me or forsake me. Okay, so let God be true and every man a liar. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. While they were talking and discussed, this is awesome. See, man, I really, 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 really think Jesus had a really cool sense of humor, man. Because there's a lot of ways He could have handled this. You know, but here's these guys, man, their heart's broken. And here comes Jesus. And the original text alludes to like he was in a distance and He kind of sped up to come talk to them. You know, that's really cool, man, because sometimes, well, you know, when you're having a serious discussion with one of your buddies or something like that, and you're trying to work through something, or sometimes you just don't feel like talking to new people, dude. You are just, man, not today, dude. I'm crushed. But here comes this guy, man. Hey, what are you guys talking about? You know? It's so cool. You know? That's the last thing I would want to happen. You know? Oh, well, let me fill you in on why my world is completely devastated. And how come you don't know about this stuff? While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus Himself, that's so important, man. It doesn't make sense. My world's falling apart. Everything's crazy. The things I thought I could count on, I can't count on no more. I don't know what to do next. But look, here's the deal. Jesus is rushing to the scene, man. Isn't that beautiful? Because that's what he's trying to do in our lives, man. You know, he's rushing to the scene. He's that brother. He's that friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. He's that brother that is born. He's that brother that is born for adversity. This is when our relationship with God gets just so wonderful. Because this is, I mean, let's be honest, this is when we really need him, when nothing is making sense. And that's when he's rushing to us. It's like, oh, it's okay. I know you don't get it. I know you don't understand it. But I'm here. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So for whatever reason, Jesus made it to where they couldn't see that that was Jesus. They just thought it was some dude, man. Some sort of supernatural something, man. They were blinded from seeing that this was actually Jesus Christ. But in our situation, in our circumstances, it can really seem like in my trial, in my storm, you know, when I've tried to do the right thing kind of sort of, you know, here and there, you know, in my storm, in my hard time, it can kind of seem sometimes like Jesus is like far away, man. You know, like I can't even see him through all the mess I'm going through. You know, people say, oh, God is with you, trust in him. But yeah, man, that's fine for somebody that's got, you know, some baby problem. I got real life problems, man. I got serious problems, dude. Okay? And it seems like Jesus is nowhere to be around. Okay, don't buy into that nonsense. Because just like the text says, and just like throughout Scripture, we see that when an imperfect person like me and you are going through a hard time, Jesus Christ is rushing to us, man. He's that friend, man, that sticks closer than a brother. You know what I'm saying? He's there. He's there. We just, man, so often, you know it's true, we can't get our eyes off of ourselves. We can't get our eyes off of ourselves and our situation that we're going through, because it's a big mess. It's a big mess. So we're looking at the mess and not the Savior, you know, who's there and says, lean on me. Turn to your neighbor and say, lean on me. I wish I could sing. When y'all catch up with me in heaven, I'm gonna be a real good singer. And I'm going to have a pet grizzly bear, but don't worry, because it'll be in heaven. Psalm 34 and verse 18, look at this. Psalm 34 and verse 18. I don't think that's unreasonable to have a grizzly bear in heaven. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Is that true? Man, when you need it, when you realize it, it is true. It is true, man. Like I said, he's rushing to the scene. Like these guys who are brokenhearted, these aren't the famous disciples that we've been reading about, you know, in the Gospels. We barely even know Cleopas. We know about his wife a little bit, you know. Speaking of Cleopas, well, never mind. Just say never mind. Psalm 34 and verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I don't like to, you know, I don't like to be in those situations that are so, they're just hopeless in the natural. You know, we can look at our country, we can look at our nation and say, man, this thing is just broke, dude. It's broke and there ain't no fixing it. Oh, no, we serve a risen Savior. We serve the Almighty God, and he's got a plan for America. So I can be discouraged if I want to, and I can talk all kinds of rubbish and be disgruntled and all that. Or I can look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher, and know that he's going to work it out. Amen. Can I get a witness? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I'm here to tell you, man, you can take my word for it, but that's not going to do when you're in a crisis. You know, when you're in a crisis, you're going to learn it for yourself. But I know it. I know it as factual, man, because I've done it both ways, man. I went through trials and like, ain't no hope for me in this one. Seriously. This is just my little mess that I got to deal with or whatever. You know, and you stay miserable, man. You stay miserable. But see, God wants to apply himself. Jesus is running to the scene of the crime, man. Or hopefully it's not a crime, you gentlemen. But he's running to you, man. He's standing at that door knocking, man. And yeah, we got to let him in. Or you can try and handle it yourself. But I'm telling you. What, Brother David? Yeah. Amen, my brother. That is exactly right. You can hold on to the pain if you want to, because you think you deserve it or whatever. Just give it to God. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Let's go to the next slide. We got these two disciples, man. They weren't none of the famous ones, you know, what, Peter, James, or John. But just like Jesus, you know, revealed himself to the women at the tomb, here he is to these guys, man. And so what's your point, Paul? The point I'm trying to make is we can think, you know, well, I'm not someone that God would be concerned with, you know. I'm not one of these people. People don't talk to me at church or at work, man. No one pays attention to me. I certainly hope that's not the case. But I know this much. I know this much. God is very much concerned with you and loves you with an undying love. Amen. And God don't play favorites. Okay? Your buddies at work might play favorites. Your buddies at school might play favorites. And I hope they don't, man. But that's the world we live in. You know, but God doesn't. He's no respecter of persons. He's going out of his way to these guys, you know, on the fringe of the disciple thing, man. We don't hear a lot about these cats. But he's rushing to them, man. Hey, fellas, what are y'all talking about? All right, praise the Lord. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other? You can kind of see Jesus kind of smiling a little bit. What are you guys talking about? And he said to them, what is the conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still looking sad. Isn't that heartbreaking? Okay, think about what I just said. Here comes Jesus rushing to these two disciples, man. They're getting out of town, man. They're just devastated. You know, they're looking at things in the natural. Their hearts are broken. Here comes this guy, man. Hey, what's going on with you guys? What are you talking about? And they turn, they stop in their tracks, and they are just sad, man. You can just see them pausing for a minute or two. It's like, do you want to talk about it with them? Do you want to tell them? I don't know if I can go through it again. You know, almost like tears welling up. I've said this before, but I don't think I can talk about this particular passage without bringing this up, because it is exactly how I relate to what's going on with these guys. So I don't want to bore you with a story that you've already heard, but it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. So these guys, they turn and they're like, they can't talk, man. They're just sad. They just stand there sad. And they are really sad, you know. That's what I get, looking sad. Okay, so one time, several years ago, actually almost 10 years ago, or would be 10 years ago, before my father passed away, I was at this manager's lunch thing with other people I worked with at Lutheran Services, and I just had, it was a, we were eating, it was a Mexican outfit in Crestview, and the big boss was at one end of this table, I was at the other end of the table, just happened to work out that way. There's all these other ladies, all these, we all know each other. But I didn't expect this to happen. Well, the nice boss lady, the boss of bosses, you know, we're sitting around waiting to get our food or whatever. And she says, you know, we don't see everybody every day. And she's like, Paul, I heard your father's ill. How's he doing? Something along those lines. And I wasn't expecting that question. That was the last question I was expecting. But also, I thought that I would be able to answer that question. Okay, my father in the natural is not doing good at all. But when she asked that, seriously, as I was forced to automatically think about what she asked, I could not speak, man. And I began to like tremble and, you know, like almost burst out in tears. Now, I was weepy, man. And it was so uncomfortable for all these people, you know. But, you know, it is what it is, man. I mean, my heart was broken. And so this lady, she's looking back at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm just kind of, my eyes are getting watery. And she's like, well, we'll just talk about that later on. Who wants some salsa or whatever? You know, so, oh, that looks good. It's something like that. But every time I read this passage where they look silently, and they stop, and they're just sad. I get it, man. That's how that moment was for me. I was like, I don't even know, man. Just that broken heart, you know. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. All right, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? So that kind of helps me understand how these guys feel. They had hung all their hopes and dreams on this guy from Galilee, you know, this miracle worker, this prophet. And it looks like it's all done. There's no way this thing can be put back together, you know. We look at our lives, right, and we're like, this is just too messed up. There's no way this can be put back together. Now, don't forget the God that we serve, right? Because these guys don't get it. They don't understand it. But the victory's already been won. This guy walking with them is Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. You know, and he can seem so far away. But, he's rushing to us. And he says, trust in me. Well, nothing makes sense. Trust in me. When it looks impossible, trust in me. Don't get in the flesh and act stupid. Can I get a witness? Looking sad. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care about you and your little problems? I mean, he is up there, you know, trying to make sure this thing doesn't crash into this thing, and that the people in China got oxygen and all this sort of thing, and the plants grow in Brazil and all that. Does he care about what you're going through? Totally, man. That's what we got to get out of this text, man. He totally cares about what you're going through. Matter of fact, you won't find this on your notes, but you probably have it memorized. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Why would I give God my burdens? Isn't he just using all his resources to try and keep this thing moving, man? No, that's nothing for him, man. He speaks universes into being. You know what I mean? And this is what God says, give me your burdens. Give me your scary thoughts. Give me your hopeless situations. Did you hear what I just said? Why? Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. Do you get it? Do you understand it? Does it make sense that he really does care about us? What this means, okay, I've said it before. And don't hurt to go over it again now. We are his concern. Just like when you go into Taco Bell or Whataburger or whatever, you know, there might be a slew of folks in there, but your concern is making sure that your babies get food and all that. They're your concern, man. You're keeping your eye on them, whatever. You're at the beach, they're swimming around, they're jumping up. Okay, there's a lot going on, man, but I'm focusing right here. These are my babies. I don't want no harm to come to nobody, but look here, this is my concern right here. Like, it's this church, it's you bunch of folks that keep me up half the night, not that guy's church. You know what I'm saying? God is good. That's a joke. Or is it? 1 Peter 5:7, I got to cast my cares. We got to cast our cares. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, because you are his baby, because you are his concern. Look at Psalms 138 and verse 8. Coming to you out of the King James. This is Rachel Jean, my beloved's favorite verse. Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Okay? The Lord will accomplish what I'm worried about. The Lord is hard at work at what is bothering me, what is keeping me up at night, what is stealing my joy. Does it make sense? We've already got the victory. Jesus already paid the price, man. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to work out. Does that mean it's going to work out the way you think it has to happen? No. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But God has a better plan than we could ever imagine. The Lord will perfect. The Lord will accomplish that which concerneth me. Verse 18 of our text, Luke 24 and 18. Then one of them named Cleopas, I kind of like that name, Cleopas. It rolls off the tongue nicely. Cleopas. Look at your neighbor and say Cleopas. A lot of people don't know this, but little Samuel was almost a Cleopas. We went back and forth between Cleopas and there was some other, you know, a lot of people, well, me and Rachel have always tried to do Bible names with our kids. And that's always, you know, just been kind of easy for us to, it's just good, you know, because names are always changing, you know. Heather used to be a real popular name. Yeah. And different names are popular. There was a, we were like, it was Samuel, Cleopas, Blade Runner, Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drifts. I still, when I see him, I say, that's my little Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drifts over there. But we just ended up going with Samuel. And he is a little Samuel. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? So remember, Jesus is like, what are you guys talking about? And they're just sad, man. They're just swelling up, man. Their eyes are all puffy. Like, man, I don't know if I can do this. And they're like, are you the only guy? Where have you been? Well, I have been in the tomb for, anyways. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem? Remember, this was at the, in the Passover feast. So there's pilgrims coming and going and all this, man. These disciples are just getting out of Dodge, man. I can't handle this. So here's another pilgrim just going back home. Like, how could you have been there and not known about all this, man? I mean, the whole city was in this uproar, man. And he said to them, what things? What things? Isn't that cool? Jesus is saying to these guys, what things? So look, I mean, look, Jesus totally, give me just a few more minutes. All right, 14 minutes. Jesus totally knows what these guys are heartbroken about. Jesus totally knows what is concerning you, what is stealing your joy, right? But he wants you to tell him. He says, sometimes you have not because you ask not, man. He's, you know, Jesus wants us to cast our cares upon him, okay? Now, you don't have to mouth the words, but you do have to give it to him, you know? And I like, when I'm talking to Jesus, well, I'm about half and half. Sometimes I'm just, you know, it's between me and him in our minds. But sometimes, man, when something's really, really heavy, you know what I mean? When something's just burdening me, I'll mouth it out to him. God, you gotta take this. You gotta handle this. This is bigger than me, you know. And so that's what God is saying, man. I know what you're going through, and you know I know what you're going through. But why don't you feel yourself? Why don't you hear yourself giving me what's bugging you? Why don't you do that? Why don't you cast your cares upon me, Jesus? Like, tell me what's going on, man. I don't want to. It hurts too bad, Jesus. Listen, man, give it to me. That's where you're going to get the peace. That's where you're going to get the joy. And that's where this victory is going to be available to you, man. Because the battle's already been won. We just want to do it our way. Or we don't think it's possible. It's just too big. Nothing's impossible for God. Can I get a witness? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Well, see, that's a little bit of the problem right there, ain't it? He wasn't just a man, and he wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a holy man. Now, they hung all their hopes and dreams on them, okay? But they still didn't get it, man. They still didn't understand that he was the Messiah. That he was the Son of God, much more than a Moses, than an Abraham, than an Isaiah. You know, those things were pointing to Jesus. And they're still looking at things at like on like the natural surface level. We surely thought this guy was going to get us some tax breaks, man. We surely thought that this guy was going to kick the Romans out, man, and get them off of our back like every other time Israel was burdened because of their sins and there was somebody that came in to rule over them. God would rise up a Messiah guy, you know, a guy to kick the enemy out, someone that would stand in the gap. We thought, well, that was what this guy was. Well, he was, but he wasn't just a guy. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. And we need to understand that, man, because sometimes we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we have not because we got this little tiny picture of who God is. We got this tiny picture of who Jesus Christ is. Well, he has some good teachings and all that, and, you know, turn the other cheek. That's good stuff, unless it's really painful, then I won't do that. You know, but he's way more than a teacher, man. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to the Father except through him. You know, so we got to stop putting him in his little box. Well, my problem is way too big. I've done it. I mean, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. But I've done it. I was like, this is just something that there's no hope for me in this situation. You know, but no, man, we got to let Joan's granddaughter, man. Joan had to leave early, but every time I say put God in a box, it makes me think about her granddaughter, Sky. Is it Sky? Years ago, I was teaching a little Sunday school class for the little kids, and Sky was this little girl, and I said something about, we can't put God in a box. And she raises her hands, and I'm like, what, sweetheart, what's going on? I said, you can't put God in a box because he'll suffocate. You got to let him out. But see, that's kind of how we are, right? We have this weird picture of God, man. It's like, oh, man, he does the impossible, okay? We got to see God for who he is. Well, how am I going to see God for who he is? We need to get into the Word of God, right? We need to get into the Word of God and see, like, these mighty men of God, like Isaiah and Moses, how they had their come to Jesus moment or their come to Jehovah God moment, and their lives were changed, man. Okay, anyways, moving forward. Look at your neighbor and say, move forward. Scoot over. And he said to them, what are the things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, way more than that, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. Listen, our God is a risen Savior. Our God has won the victory. Our God, let me just read it. Revelation 1 and verse 18. And the living one, you're not serving or devoting your life to some philosopher, dude. You're not devoting your life to some guru that's been dead for thousands of years, man. This is the one true God. And the living one, I died. He did die. But he had to die. He died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. At this moment when he's walking with these two disciples, they think Jesus Christ, you know, they think he's gone. They think he's gone for good, man. I had all these dreams and aspirations, and man, I was part of this group, man. You know, I could have been a contender. Things could have been so good, you know. But now it's all done. I hear Peter's going to go back to fishing. I don't know what's going on, man. See, our God's a risen Savior. He defeated hell. He defeated death. The penalty of your sins, he paid for. Okay? Why don't you give him some praise? Let's go to the next slide, beloved. We're finishing things up. But we had hoped. See, here it is. He was alive, but now he's dead, and my dreams are crushed, man. My heart hurts because he was a great guy. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. I thought for sure when he came down that hill, when he came down the Mount of Olives, and he was riding on that donkey, because that donkey represents a victorious king, man. When I saw the olive branches being laid down, and everybody saying, Hosanna, I thought for sure he was riding into town, man, to kick the Romans out. I thought heads were going to roll, man. That's not what happened. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. He's the redeemer of all mankind. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, today, Easter morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels. Well, that's a whole game changer right there. Why are you guys getting out of Jerusalem? They still don't get it. They're like, everybody's losing their mind, man. The weight of what they know, what they think they know, is heavier than all the promises God had made, all the promises that Jesus had made. So one of these ladies run back and say, the tomb's empty, man, and there was angels, and they said, he's alive. That was too much for them. They were like, everybody's just going cuckoo. Come on, Cleopas, let's go, man. Let's go, dude. They were discouraged, man. We get discouraged and we're like, walk away. We walk away from the people we should really be with, you know, people that should encourage us, the people that were going to tell us what the scripture says, you know. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, all these cats were hiding out. You know, the disciples were hiding out. But these ladies, man, they had it. And, you know, Peter rushes to the tomb and all that. It's just too much for Cleopas and his buddy. Broken hearts are heavy, dude. You know, sometimes we can't imagine getting better. Okay, y'all with me? Came back saying that he even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us, Peter, John, went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him, they did not see. It's just too much for them. But see, what are they doing? They're looking at this situation, you know, with their natural eyes. You know, this is hopeless. Game over, dude. Come on, Cleopas. Let's go to Emmaus. But nothing is hopeless, man. The tomb is empty, but it's not because somebody snuck off with his body. We know that. The tomb is empty because the angels weren't lying. The tomb is empty because Jesus Christ himself said, just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, that's me too, man. You know, he kept saying, I'll be back. He did. They're looking at their situation in the natural, not in the supernatural. And guess what? We serve a supernatural God. Get excited, man. I know you're tired. We serve a supernatural God. So my problem, my burden, what's going on in my country, what's going on in my kids' classes, what's going on with my paycheck, what's going on with my stimulator money, you know, whatever. Yeah. It don't matter, man. I serve a supernatural God who does the impossible, who brings the dead back to life. For real, man. So this is where we're stopping today because, quite frankly, y'all haven't been very well behaved. No, this is we're stopping today, but next week we're going to see what happens when Jesus reveals himself to these guys. Okay? But see, man, their hearts are broken. But see, okay, let me close with this. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. When it looks hopeless, you serve a supernatural God. When it looks hopeless, nothing is impossible. I'm talking about Luke 1:37.